But it's so good to see everyone. It is wonderful. Your faces are radiant. And the Lord has spared us from some heating here. Before I continue, I want to say that it is so great to see everyone. I'm going to put Kaya Lynn on blast here for a little bit. She called me a little earlier this week. We talked a little bit earlier this week. She said, is it okay if I were to bring a dog to the service? I said, absolutely. You know, people are not going to be freaked out about it. Absolutely. No problem at all. So she's here this morning visiting with us. We trust that she's going to feel the love of Christ from the family here of God in the church in Ottawa. Speaking of family, this week I received some news that was very sad. When I was a student at the University of Toronto, I was part of the campus ministry there, and one of the things, of course, that we did was to help other people to become Christians. We believe that's a call that God has issued to all of us. There was a young man that that we started studying the Bible with, and he became a disciple. As a matter of fact, we put before God that we will meet someone and that he would become a disciple in 3 days. Wow. That was our goal. Yeah. We saw at least our interpretation of what the scripture teaches about people turning their lives over to God in short order. His name is Lanny Lee. And Lanny Lee on Thursday had a heart attack and is now with the Lord. Lanny was an instrumental part of the campus ministry. He was a song leader in the Toronto church. He went on a mission team to Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, came back. And he's a young man. He's younger than I am. Therefore, he's very young. But, you know, I was reminded this is what and the why I do what I do. The people receive the goal of their faith, the salvation of their soul. It is the sobriety that at times that I am reminded of why we do what we do. It's not simply to come to a park, and while that is enjoyable, that there is a reverence and a holiness and an ultimate day when we will come face to face with our God, and it is so good to know that we will have a defender on our side, the Lord Jesus. You may remember Lanny and Kayla visited us here in the Ottawa church just before the pandemic. And it was so great to see them. And it saddens my heart that I will never see him on this earth again. But certainly there is hope because of what God has given us in Christ Jesus to know eternity awaits and we can spend some time in eternity together. And so it is with a mixed heart I come before you this morning. Of course, one with jubilation that we're with the family of God and Lanny has received the goal of his faith, and yet, you know, to know that we're not going to see Lanny again on this earth is certainly a sobering thought. Interestingly, as I was thinking about kicking off our summertime, is to talk about a quality of God that actually fits in with what we're going to be talking about. And this idea that God is a holy God. As a matter of fact, God is described not as simply a holy God, but described as the thrice holy God. And so I'm going to need some help this morning to read some scriptures to help us digest that. And so we have the best reader in the congregation. Danielle is going to be leading us off. And then I couldn't find anyone else, so then I found Armin to read this. Danielle's going to come on up, and she's going to read this scripture in Revelation that talks about this thrice holy God. Please, go ahead.
The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Amen. Thank you.
In a second, we'll have Armin come on up, and he's going to read a scripture that is very similar. And to talk, I want to spend the next few minutes to talk about a description of God that is unique. And the idea of saying God is holy, holy, holy is a point of emphasis. God is never described as God is love, love, love. God is never described as God is mercy, mercy, mercy. Or God is just, just, just. Or God is eternal, eternal, eternal. But God wanted us to understand something about Him in regard to His holiness. And so the scripture emphasizes this. And Armin, if you can go ahead and read from the book of Isaiah to help us understand this as well.
"In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high, exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they called to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The Lord, the whole earth is full of His glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'"
Oftentimes, when you would ask someone to describe God, I am not sure that what comes off our lips immediately is that God is holy. Oftentimes, God is love. He's compassionate. He's merciful, and indeed, he is all of those things. But what makes those things work? What makes and his love alive is that he's holy. So holy that the creatures in heaven instinctive response when they were with him was to fall down and just simply talk about the honor, praise, glory that God ultimately deserves. Amen. On earth, when Isaiah heard about God being the thrice holy God, his earthly response was, "Woe, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people who are unclean." And I am burdened in my heart whether or not I understand the holiness of God. And I thought about this. You know what the holiness of God did? It cost him his son. What? Because God cannot dwell with sin. He's so holy. This is how he's described. I want to read this. This is how he's described. When Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, "In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen." Very rarely in the scriptures, mid-chapter, mid-Bible, does it end with amen. That section ends with amen. Not the end of the book, just that section. As Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, got in a lane that he started just uttering words that sometimes we only have it on a plaque in our office. We don't meditate on it enough. And I'm deeply, deeply concerned that we have formed and created God the way that we want to him to be. This morning, I received an email through our website. Someone says, "I'm looking for a church, but here are the conditions on which I'm looking for a church." And in it laid out two things in particular. And I said to myself, if that is not the personification of creating God the way that we would like for him to be. And I'm going to go to a place where my itching ears need to be itched. And the fear and the reverence of God I'm afraid, is often absent from the so-called church. And if the only description of God, which is the thrice holy God, and we do not acknowledge and embrace and it becomes part of our life, then I ask you, what game are we playing? Get this. The scripture that Danielle read, even the angels had to cover their eyes. They could not gaze upon him in heaven. When Paul describes God, he lives in a light that is unapproachable. And so as we embark on our summer, this beautiful lady is giving me some water. Can we go on a date later? That sounds great. All right.
Why not?
She said yes. All right. Sweet. I got to ask her mother for as well for permission. Doggone it. We got some jokesters, don't we? We got jokes. But the Bible teaches us this idea that God is to be a remarkably holy God. We have domesticated the big cat. And we've shaped him and formed him. And we've got to be careful. I've got to be careful. That I don't get to become someone who just teaches what people would like to hear. I hope what I teach you like. But I hope that's not the determination of what I talk about when we come up here. You know, I'll share this story. One time I was in a mall walking with my daughter. And if you know my daughter, she's the prettiest girl in the whole world. My wife is the prettiest woman. She's the prettiest girl. She will always be my, she will always be my girl. And so while I was walking there, there were a few guys that were just gawking and saying things and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm not usually someone that is just yelling and screaming at people, just the church. But one of the guys walked up and I walked straight up to him and I said, he started talking to Ashley in a very derogatory manner. And I said to him, "You better back away." And he gets up, he puffs his chest. I said, "You better stand down." What's my point? That the ferocity and the holiness of God means nothing if, when necessary, it can't be applied. In other words, we have sometimes so domesticated the big cat, the lion, that when a mouse runs in, the lion now runs away, the God that we have created. And he's no more the king of the jungle to be feared and revered and honored. Not that as a weapon, but when needed. Who wants a lion that can be chased by a rat. But some way, somehow, Christianity has formed that God and we're buying it. You know, a number of years ago, churches were dying. And the idea was, you know what? Young people aren't being attracted to the gospel. So what Christianity did is that it started making the gospel attractive. Dry ice, lights down, emotion. To the point where it became a race among Christianity, which church would get bigger. Not because they convert anyone, but what sheep are they stealing? Because one person went one way and they were entertained, and after a few weeks they stopped being entertained and they went to the other place where there will be more entertainment. Where the jungle gyms were more sophisticated. Where the basketball gyms had an electronic scoreboard. Where the grass was always green. Where the Easter egg hunt was even more popular. And I'll borrow a phrase that I read in an article recently. And the guy said, I want to apologize to the young people of our generation. Because what we did, we told you that church was about you. We told you that church was about you. And he said, I want to apologize for that. Because it's never been about you. It shouldn't have ever been about you or me, but about God and His holiness. And if we want to run a social club, it's easy in Ottawa. People love social clubs. But the idea this morning is for me to give you pause for thought about this attribute of God that is the only one that's described as the thrice holy God. Only one. Do we give much thought about it? So much so that we have a Christianity without Christ. We have commitment without the cross. And it almost even doesn't matter how you conduct yourself on a weekly basis. Invariably, what Satan does with something like that, are you saying that I need to be fearful in how I live my life? You need to fear God. But let me, pray tell, I ask you, what need would there be for God to be compassionate and loving and merciful if He wasn't holy? Let me say that again. What need would there be for God to be loving, merciful, compassionate if He wasn't holy? And so as we embark on our summer, summer is not a time for us to have a vacation from God. Perhaps, as the men talked about on Wednesday, perhaps it's a time to be even more vigilant than ever. And so what happened was, the young people, because it was not about God, it became who? It was a marketing campaign. So much so, the most influential church in North America, actually across the world, started off its church based on a survey. And the survey asked, what would you like to see in a church? And they marketed and they found out. And guess what? They created that. A few years ago. I mean, well-intentioned, but very faulty. And everybody would say, hey, these guys are growing so fast. What are your best practices? And somehow it became a business. And so this morning, my goal as we thought about this thrice holy God, the response of Isaiah was one of worship and falling down and saying, I am not worthy. And then through God, we become worthy. And so as we take the Lord's Supper this morning, I want you, I encourage you, I implore you to think about what cost Jesus to die on the cross was because of God's holiness. Because he couldn't live with sin, and he had to deal with sin. And the way that he dealt with sin was through watching his son die. And so as we, if we can go ahead and raise your hand if you've not received the communion, the guys can help on out to pass around the communion, please raise your hand and put your hand down after you get it so that they can know where to go. But in this time of reflection and meditation, I pray that the line of Judah and the reverence and fear and healthy respect and awe of that we have with God is not summarily dismissed. And this is a ritualistic time that we take emblems to remind us of the body and blood of Christ. But to think when the seraphims, even the seraphims, not just any angels, but those six-winged creatures, their only response was awe and reverence. And so let's go ahead and give thanks for the body and blood of Christ as we think about his holiness. Holy, holy, holy are you, our Lord God Almighty. Father, I confess our sins of lack of fear and respect for you. I pray, Father, as we are reminded of the most holy moment that your holiness cost you so dearly, then we don't push it aside. Instead, we are reflected and meditative and live lives of gratitude because of what you have done for us, because of your holiness. Thank you for the death of Christ because it meant life for us. Thank you for the resurrection that gives us hope. In Jesus' name.